This is Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. For the last year, the hope of a strong El Nino has dominated the news. Well, El Nino storms are finally here, and more are expected to hit California over the next 2 to 3 weeks. For more insight on El Nino and whether it will live up to the hype, we have Daniel Swain with us on Valley Edition. He runs the website Weather West, providing a unique California weather and climate discussion since 2006. He's a PhD candidate at Stanford and a member of the Climate and Earth System Dynamics Group. He studies the changing character of extreme meteorological events, and that's a perfect time to have him on our program today. Daniel, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Thanks for taking the time, especially as this is a developing story right now as storms are hitting California. This has to be a very exciting time for you. Bring us up to date on just the latest, what's happening this morning in California.
Sure. Well, I have to say it was nice to wake up to the sound of rain in the gutters. It's been a while. Right now what we're seeing in California is the first in a series of storm systems that are likely to come through over the next week or so, which is really part of a broader atmospheric pattern shift across the Pacific Ocean that's bringing conditions a little more into line with what we would expect, given that we have this very strong El Nino event currently present in the tropical Pacific.
So when we look at what we've already had this year, in this part of Central California at least, we've had average to above average rain and snow conditions in this water year so far, going back into the winter and fall of 2015. Were those storms characteristic of El Nino, or was that just something different than what we're experiencing now?
Well, you know, what I often like to say is that there isn't really a particular kind of storm that is characteristic of El Nino. It's probably more accurate to say that there is a particular kind of storm track that's characteristic of El Nino. And what we had seen in California up until very recently is a fairly northern origin storm track, where we saw these cold storms, which brought, fortunately, quite a bit of snow to the Sierra Nevada mountains, but did not bring a whole lot of precipitation to southern California or even coastal central California. So we're in the sort of interesting situation where the inland areas actually are doing, in some cases, better than the coast. During a very strong El Nino event, the real signature of the atmospheric response to these warm tropical ocean temperatures tends to be a strengthened and enhanced subtropical storm track, which doesn't necessarily mean that California starts receiving the storms from the subtropics per se. What it really means is that the southern portion of the jet stream sort of becomes souped up at the expense of the northern branch of the jet stream, which is the branch that normally brings California its precipitation. So during a strong El Nino event, we see this stronger southern stream of the jet stream. We see more frequent storms. We see storms that tend to strengthen or maintain their strength rather than weaken as they approach California. So what we were seeing earlier this year in the autumn is not particularly characteristic of that El Nino pattern, since that was being driven by that subpolar jet stream. This week, though, what we've seen is a real big transition where the subtropical jet stream, that one we keep an eye on during the El Nino years, has really strengthened and become very enhanced and shifted a bit southward, closer to California. And so what we're starting to see is this parade of storms on the southern storm track, which hopefully will continue.
Is that the same thing that people call the atmospheric river?
Atmospheric rivers are a little bit different. We can get atmospheric rivers in any year in California. In fact, we almost always do receive them. And these are these corridors of very concentrated atmospheric water vapor transport that we often have associated with our biggest winter storms in California. These atmospheric river events are also associated with a lot of California's major flood events, so they're definitely something to watch out for, but they also bring a lot of the water that ultimately becomes California's water supply, both for humans and for the environment, especially the accumulation of snowpack in the Sierra Nevada. So they're both potentially destructive, but also generally beneficial events on average. And we tend to see these with greater frequency in some years than others. During El Nino, it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to see more of these atmospheric river events, but it does mean that we're likely to see more storms overall. So in a certain sense, maybe we're more likely to see atmospheric river events just because the overall storm frequency, some of which occur with atmospheric rivers, has increased.
We're talking about El Nino on our program today with Daniel Swain, a weather expert from Stanford. I've heard some people say that this particular storm track that we're looking forward to right now has the potential to be the wettest in 5 years in California. Can you put it into context for us in terms of the recent past and maybe past El Ninos, what we're seeing right now?
Well, so the right now, you know, the short-term weather forecasts that go out a week or so are at least the specific weather forecasts that we have, that we can talk about individual storms out to maybe 7 or 10 days in the future. It's a bit of a short period of time to really compare to what will ultimately have happened over the winter. And you know, El Nino's influence will probably be most obvious in retrospect when you look at the entire winter season. But I think this particular storm sequence, especially in Southern California for the Los Angeles and San Diego areas and the mountains just to the east, really will be one of the largest sequences we've had in years, which is frankly more a testament to just how dry it has been down there over the past 3 or 4 years. This is an impressive sequence of storms, but it certainly isn't an unprecedented one in California's history by any means. But over the last several years, we just really haven't seen any of these persistent stormy sequences, because that jet stream that I was talking about earlier really has been, over the past several years, directed well to the north of California, really all the way up into the Pacific Northwest and British Columbia. And so to see this real pronounced strengthening of the southern branch of the jet stream, the subtropical jet stream, is encouraging, because That is the mechanism by which El Nino can bring enhanced precipitation to California, and right now it is occurring, and so hopefully it will continue for the rest of the winter.
Looking back even a couple of months ago, maybe even more, I remember seeing on your blog and other weather discussions people saying, you know what, hold tight. It looks like there's going to be some strong precipitation, some El Nino-driven precipitation in early 2016, January, February, March. Have those long-term models fared fairly well in terms of looking at this year and what we're seeing right now? Did they appear to be spot on, or what's your analysis of that?
Yeah, I think the models, the predictive models that we use to forecast the climate system a few months out, have actually done very well this year. They don't always do well, but this year in particular, they have been pretty spot on so far, capturing first the evolution towards one of the strongest El Nino events on record in the Pacific Basin. They did indeed foresee quite a few months in advance that the ocean temperatures in that region would approach record levels right now, and that's ultimately where they are still today. And they also suggested that the autumn months in California wouldn't be especially spectacular from a precipitation perspective, but they suggested that there would be a pretty rapid transition sometime later in the winter, perhaps late December, perhaps early January, toward a much wetter pattern, more reminiscent of what we would expect during a strong El Nino event. And right now, that appears to be exactly what's happening, and so arguably that's a success for these models. It's important to keep in mind that when we talk about climate outlooks several months in advance, those are somewhat distinct from weather forecasts. We use similar models that use similar physics and similar chemistry to describe the atmosphere, but we don't tend not to make specific forecasts that far out. We might say, well, there's an increased likelihood of wet conditions, rather than saying, oh, there might be a big storm on January 8th, for example. Given that, we call those probabilistic forecasts. Those probabilistic forecasts, which said essentially that we expect wetter or much wetter than average conditions to be in place by January, February, March, right now, appear to be bearing out in reality, which is, of course, a good thing because of our pretty extraordinary multi-year drought.
From a researcher's perspective, how valuable is this El Nino in terms of gathering data and learning more about how a strong El Nino works? These don't happen all that often, and I imagine the technology that we have today in monitoring these sorts of things is more advanced than it was in, say, 1982 or even in the 1990s. How important is it from just the scientific perspective in poring over the data and things?
Well, it's definitely interesting, to see these sorts of extreme climate events in the real world, because, often our best tools for investigating atmospheric science questions, including questions about El Nino, are these ocean and climate models, which are inherently imperfect representations of the real world. And so it's always good to sort of reality check with what actually happens in the real world. And right now, as you mentioned, strong El Niños are not all that common. This is really only the third we've seen in the modern, what we often call the modern observational era, which really means the time period since we've had intensive Earth-observing satellites, which didn't go into orbit until the very late 1970s. So we really only have 35, 40 years of these observations right now, and we really only have, if you include this year, three very strong El Niño events. So it's definitely adding to a small sample size, giving us some new information. And it's also interesting to watch this particular El Niño event evolve in what is arguably a different climate context than all the previous strong El Niño events that we've observed before it, because, of course, the Earth is considerably warmer than it was even during the last big El Niño event in 97-98, but especially since the early 80s event. And that is probably affecting the kinds of atmospheric effects that we're seeing in certain parts of the world. Obviously, El Niño itself is a powerful force that is, in many cases, dominating what's going on in the atmosphere, but we also have this background of warmer conditions and higher sea levels and different ice conditions in the higher latitudes. And all of these things can affect exactly what happens on the ground in terms of the weather we get during a particular winter.
The warm weather that hit the East Coast late last year, and also the massive flooding in the Midwest, how much of that is attributable to this El Niño effect?
Well, it's hard to say in real time without a real formal analysis. El Niño does tend to, for certain kinds of events, it does energize, as I mentioned, the subtropical branch of the jet stream, which, in terms of the flooding that's been experienced across the Midwest and the southern United States, there is a pretty good chance that El Niño does have at least a partial hand in that sort of event. With the eastern warmth, that may actually have more to do with what's going on in the Arctic, although, of course, what happens in the Arctic is not unrelated to what's happening in the tropics with El Niño either, so it's a little bit hard to say. But El Niño definitely increases the likelihood of extreme weather in a lot of regions, including the regions recently that have actually seen some pretty extreme conditions.
It seems like we've been talking about El Niño for a year now, or over a year now. When will we begin to look at maybe even 2017, looking long term, as people were last summer saying, hey, ocean temperatures look like they might be rising and it might be an El Niño event, a strong El Niño event. When will we start to know even beyond this rain year in the West what the ocean temperatures might, will they go back down? Will they maintain this warm El Niño event? When will we know something about the future?
Well, we can look to our ocean and climate models right now and ask what they are telling us about the coming year. But the reality is, for the most part, these models exhibit some substantial skill out a certain number of months. And right now, we're still in the middle of winter this year, and so it's a little bit far to say too much about what's going to happen next winter, a year out. What I will say is that typically, following a strong El Niño event, we do typically see a swing back towards the La Niña conditions, which is to say cooling in the eastern equatorial Pacific Ocean rather than warming, which is what we see with El Niño. And so there's a pretty good chance, just historically and physically, that that is where we're headed, and many of the models right now are consistent with that. I'll also say that this has been kind of an unusual El Niño, and that it has already had a very gradual, prolonged rise into prominence over the past couple of years. And so it may not necessarily behave as El Niño as we've seen in the past. So we may just have to see. I still think the good money is on La Niña next winter. But we'll think. I think it's a little bit early to know for sure.
And I think we forget that last year also, correct me if I'm wrong, we had El Nino conditions, not a strong one, but those sea surface temperatures were increased, correct? But we didn't have the precipitation.
Right. Well, so last year, as in a full year ago from today, we did see very warm ocean conditions in the tropical Pacific, but we didn't really see them the highly localized warming that we see during a major El Nino event. And that localized warming is typically what ultimately results in these precipitation effects in California. And so what we saw then was a broader, more generalized warming that sort of flirted with the formal definition of El Nino, but didn't really look like one structurally. Whereas this year, everything looks—it's just a classic El Nino, where there's this nice band of warm water right along the equator in the eastern equatorial Pacific Ocean. And so, this year is quite different from last year. Although it's certainly true that it's a bit unusual to transition from that broad warming to this more regionally specific warming as we've observed.
So, looking out the rest of this 2016 wet season, January, February into March, what should we expect? Again, not a specific forecast per se, but the overall outlook before we go.
Well, hopefully, and I think likely, the current conditions this week are maybe a preview of what we can expect through March. It won't be like this every week. There will probably be some breaks in the weather. There will be people will get a little bit nervous about these transient ridges that pop up and result in some dry weather occasionally. But I think on average, what we will continue to see is an enhanced subtropical jet stream like we're seeing right now. And that will probably mean that most or all of California is wetter than average for January, February, and March. And that is good news because those are, in many parts of California, those are the wettest months of the year. That results in a lot of the snowpack accumulation that we need to get through the summer and hopefully to probably not end the drought because, of course, the drought is so severe that it would take multiple consecutive wet winters to really do justice towards alleviating those deficits. But I do think by the spring months that much of California will probably be probably be in better shape drought-wise than we were in the autumn, even if the drought still remains in some form.
Daniel Swain is a member of the Climate and Earth System Dynamics Group at Stanford University and author of Weather West, the California Weather Blog. It's online at weatherwest.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at @weather_west. Daniel Swain, thanks for joining us talking El Nino today, and hope there's a lot more excitement for folks in your industry as the weeks continue here. Thanks again.